On reflection, I think that it wasn't as if he was giving an order. It was, on reflection, when I sat back to think about it, it was a rhetorical thing that he said, that, listen, this thing is over. He didn't mean it as a military order that, you know, it is over. But I don't want to stretch that too much. That has been corrected. The issue is this. Let's take the issue of the marketers. Doing business in Nigeria is a very, very tough thing, especially if it involves government, either in terms of regulation or contracts. For example, those who do government contracts will tell you that they have to inflate it 3-4 times because you never know when you're going to get paid. I've been involved in one or two things in the past that have set my mind in the mind of the marketers. One, in 1983, I was involved remotely, as it were. We were the client then was trying to set up a flour mill somewhere in the north. And it was going to be commissioned in 2 weeks' time. Lo and behold, in those days, you'd listen to the news at 7, the government banned the importation of wheat. And that was it. I mean, see the project. Overnight, government just said we're banning the importation of wheat. The following year, I was involved in another project, and we spent a hell lot of money, including contacting at the very highest level to get an import license. Oh, we spent so much money. Whatever money you spend in the course of your business is part of the business cost. We got the import license on a Monday at about 12 noon. The following morning, news at 7, import licenses had been cancelled. And the person who gave us the import license knew that it was going to be cancelled the next day. So there is always this uncertainty. I'm trying to explain it on the side of the marketers. One of the things that you always think of if you're trading is your replacement cost. So if I buy this newspaper for 20 naira, and I know that from tomorrow I'm going to buy it for 40 naira, then I have to make provisions for me to be able to stay in business. It's not an emotional thing. Those who think that, oh, the marketers are doing this and are doing that, they are hedging their bets because of past experience. Because the truth is, if, for example, from day one, and I said, look, Tinubu just took over yesterday, so you can't hold him responsible apart from the misunderstanding of the phrase, because it wasn't in his speech. If we had said that, because government is a continuum, even if it was the PDP that won, government should be a continuum. If we had said, such a sensitive thing like this, you should have had a master plan. The previous government would, no subsidy today, no, we are going to do it tomorrow, it's going to end today, it's going to end in 1 week. So every time you are stocking up, you don't know what you are going to wake up. And part of the reason is what happened when some marketers, like all of us, would have heard the following morning that subsidy is over and misunderstood it. Those surprises. If, for example, when the decision was made that we're going to remove the subsidy, then all the stakeholders, you give yourself a date. 3 months. It's not something you're going to do overnight. 3 months, 6 months. You give yourself a date. You are going to involve all the marketers. The marketers are going to know their positions with their suppliers. You are going to involve the banks, because most fuel acquisition, PMS acquisition for the marketers, is done by banks through bank loans. So you are going to involve the banks. You are going to sensitize them to what kind of interest rate. It's a whole gamut and is a whole master plan that you should have. But in typical Nigerian attitude, and I've given you examples, we keep going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and that is why we are here now. I mean, that is the best I can do in about 5 minutes to try and paraphrase what is going on. So in a way, because I spoke to two marketers yesterday, and you also need to understand their own problem. Like anybody who is involved in trade would know what you call replacement value. You know, if it's you are selling 20 today, you're going to have, you know, purchase for 40 tomorrow. You have to know how you're going to get it. You have to know what the bank rates are going to be, and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's where we should have been. But okay, so where are we going now? Let me state categorically, according to the Vanguard, it says the petroleum subsidy removal is not immediate. So we are going back again. We are going back again, you know, to, you know, to where we should have been. It's not immediate. Okay? The and don't forget, to be fair to the government, they were just one day in office yesterday. You know, and the side, whatever of that is that we should have a regulatory body that takes care of these things without these things coming from the presidency all the time. We should have a body that is fully responsible and has autonomous authority to handle things like this once the policy is set in place. But so what we hear now is that petroleum subsidy is, the removal is not going to be immediate. The governors are reading riot act to the marketers. That, as far as I'm concerned, is PR. These marketers are they're businessmen. They don't want to stock petrol and not sell. They're businessmen, but everybody is watching the government. Like my late lawyer would say when we were in court, he said, you don't know the mind of the judge. You don't know the mind of the government. You don't know what's going to happen next. So you got to be careful. And says that subsidy will end Nigeria. That's the vice president gave a briefing yesterday. And yes, the subsidy is going to go. I don't think there are too many people that would say we should retain this mad thing that we've been doing. What we're pleading is that it should be systematic and cause very little ripples. It says marketers are hoarding petrol, selling a liter for 600. Black market is 750. Reps back subsidy removal. Hail Tinubu's courage. Appeal to Nigerians to be patient with government. Don't panic over policy. Tinubu resumes at Aso Rock. Miss Emefiele. I'm glad that happened. This is a departure from the past. The president immediately yesterday met Emefiele and Kyari. Emefiele, of course, you know, is the CBN governor. Kyari is an NNPC man. And NNPC claimed that federal government is owing them 2.8 trillion. And, you know, they're saying subsidy removal is belated. So what do we expect, or what should we expect in the next 48 hours? I think what we should be expecting in the next 48 hours is a master plan that tells us the subsidy is going to be removed by so-and-so. In the meantime, we are consulting A, B, C, D. If that can be rushed up within a week, then you come out with what is agreed and we all casually move to that. It's a Nigerian problem. It's not a Tinubu problem or a marketer's problem. In Nigeria, uncertainty always hovers around. So that's my submission. You look at my mouth is dry now. You just brought tea for yourself. See. I don't want to drink your tea.
It's very nutritious.
I don't want to drink your tea. Do you know why I don't want to drink your
why?
Tea? Why? I've had it. That's where I heard that some people drink their pee. That is a good
No way.
But it's healthy.
What is healthy there? There's nothing healthy in drinking your pee.
No, it's healthy. People will tell you. Google it.
I don't think
Google
so.
Google it. yeah, let's go.
let's take this story here from The Guardian, right? So this story from The Guardian reads, Tinubu reinstates sanity as DSS EFCC squabble over property in Lagos.
Well, I'm glad that this happened. I think we're beginning to see some kind of new direction in governance. This was a quick one. I don't understand what went on there, to be honest, because even our good friend Dr. Afunaya said that it is not correct that the DSS barricaded EFCC from entering his office. No, it is not true. And it goes on to say, the service is only occupying its own facility where it is carrying out its official and statutory responsibility. And it goes on to say that, by the way, there is no controversy over number 15 Awolowo Road as being insinuated by the media. Of course, that had always been the headquarters when Lagos was the capital of the dreaded SSS. I think it was headed at that time by one gentleman called Rafin Daddy. Yes, I think I got the name right. But I don't know what the... Because the EFCC spokesperson, he described the incident as bizarre. As we said, he said that both agencies had shared the facility for decades. But so he now said that operatives of the Lagos Command of the EFCC arrived at their office on number 15 Aulo Road, okay, we know this morning, and to be denied entry by the DSS people. Mm. That is unfortunate, it shouldn't have happened. And he said that this development is turned to the commission, given that we have cohabited with the DSS in that facility for 20 years. By denying operatives access to their offices, the commission's operations at its largest hub with over 500 personnel, hundreds of exhibits, and many suspects in detention have been disrupted. Cases scheduled for court hearing today have been aborted, while many suspects who have been invited for questioning are left unattended. What does that mean? Left unattended is what? No food, nothing. You can't even clean up the place. And it says even more alarming is that suspects in detention were left without care, with grave implications for their rights as inmates. All of these have wider implications, and go on and so forth. I kept wondering yesterday what this is all about. Mm. More so on the president's first day in office. The timing is bad. It doesn't look right. I think the president would have to order some kind of probe. He can do that, you know, procedurally, to find out what actually went out. Why is this thing happening on the first day of office? Is anybody trying to test his will? Mm. Why on that particular day? And what is the quarrel about, to be honest with you? Government, good government, come. The two agencies are agencies of government. Why would you be fighting over a property? The optics doesn't look good. The DSS have denied it. The EFCC say this is what happened. Mm. When do we get to know the truth? You know, journalism is not... I'm sorry, at my age, of course, I'll always keep looking back. But this Sunday, somebody would have been able to give us the full story of what happened. When I remember the likes of Dele Giwa.
We may still get that.
You think so? The Sunday paper... In fact, the newspapers, everything has changed a bit, I must admit. But I don't like the optics, and I would love to know why it was done first. But I like the way the president reacted immediately. Just give another, bam, leave the place in the first instance. And then we'll come back inside and get it sorted.
Right.
Do you think heads will roll, though?
I don't think so. Why? I think heads shouldn't roll. Because I think that this must have been carryovers from before. And they just felt it was an opportunity to make a statement.
Look, both parties. I have a lot of respect, especially for the DSS. I'm sentimental towards them. But it just doesn't look... I mean, why would two government agencies be preventing each other? It's almost...
It won't be the first
remember
time.
That the two of them are armed, though.
Oh, yes. Yes. They are both armed, yes.
So?
There'd been a situation before when NIDCOM was evicted from another ministry's building and all of that. Very, very embarrassing situation, you know, during Buhari's administration. That was really embarrassing. So this one won't be, but I just love the fact that, you know, the way that one went into a public ridicule conversation.
It kept going on and on and on, yes.
Abike Dabrerewa responding to this, that one responding to that, and it was really messy. I'm glad that this was taken care of instantly.
Okay, now let me ask a question that you can't answer.
That's not from you.
No, I'll just ask you a question. And for listeners at home, is the DSS superior to the EFCC?
Absolutely.
Why?
Absolutely.
No, why?
Department of State Security is always superior in any country.
Why are they superior?
Because they are for the security of the state, not just one aspect of the country.
Second question. If it was the army that occupied that building and not the EFCC, would this thing have happened?
Maybe not.
Thank you very much.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Let's take Daily Trust now. Page 17. Page 17 of Daily Trust. Lagos PDP, APC disagree on Sanwo-Olu's performance.
Yes, unfortunately, yesterday we couldn't, we didn't have enough time, so we didn't have time to review Sanwo-Olu's second coming. Let me say, even though one has been very highly critical about the governor of Lagos in the past, and that has been with issues. Generally, it's not as if it was a total failure, no. We give him kudos in a lot of areas. He handled COVID very well. The EndSARS thing is a bit controversial. I don't want to get to that this morning. And, you know, quite a number of things. There's been housing, there have been, you know, look at the ferry service. They have all kinds. There's been development, the big bridges and roads. But it is the simple things that have been neglected. And the focus has been more on publicity than getting work done. I think in his second year, I would plead with him, please let us just handle the simple things first. These are low-hanging fruits. Traffic. If somewhere in my lifetime, Lagos traffic had been moving, and when I say somewhere in my lifetime, is as recent as you can imagine. I don't want to get into controversy over who was governor then, but you jolly well imagine what I'm talking about. Traffic can be much better. How do you explain in a tenure of 4 years, in the name of construction, the state was almost at a complete standstill in a lot of areas? By the way, today is May the 31st.
Yeah.
It's the day that Eko Bridge should be opened. I hope that is. I kept looking for news about whether it's going to be opened or not. By tomorrow, we will know if that has happened. Mr. Sanwo-Olu, we'd like to call your attention for the umpteenth time. I watched a documentary on the Eko Bridge about a few days ago by the director of Works Federal. Guess what? That bridge that went down in Ijora, I quote the man, he said it was cooked. Apparently, people had access to go make this big hole. And it shouldn't happen. And that's why we keep telling you, sir, please, clear under the bridges. The other one that, you remember the one that caught fire, was because people were there. And we call your attention also to the environment. We talk about Ijora, all the way down to Akpogbon. If we want to keep our assets, there must be zero tolerance to these things. These things cost a lot of money. I can jolly well imagine how much it costs to do Eko Bridge and now Ijora and so on and so forth. We wish him luck in his second coming. Now that he's guaranteed, he has nothing to hold him back. His principal, people always allude to the fact that his principal got him too busy. He has a bigger fish to fry. So he has all the latitude now to make his mark on history. Like I said, it's not as if he didn't do anything or he didn't succeed in some areas. No, hell no. That's not the issue. It's the low-hanging fruits, the ones that affect people on a daily basis, that touch the heart of the people that we plead for. So we wish him luck in his second coming.
I don't know if it's a story that I saw yesterday. This is an editorial from the Daily Trust newspaper. The killing of parents by their own children.
You know, first of all, let me confess. Usually when I go through the Daily Trust, I'm looking for stories that give the opinion, not an opinion, and so on and so forth. So my mind didn't go until I saw the headline, The Killing of Parents by Their Own Children. We don't have enough time, just have about that. But let me quickly go through it. Some of the stories here are frightening. In April, for example, it says an 18-year-old suspect said he killed his 52-year-old father in Oyo State because the father used to beat his mother. Okay? In Kano, a mother was killed by her 22-year-old son in Nasarawa local government area of the state metropolis. He was alleged to have killed her under the influence of drugs. A neighbor narrated how the victim was stabbed several times with a knife. Look at this, Sheriff. The story of a 21-year-old young man from Anambra State and another one from Jigawa, both of whom killed their parents under the influence of hard drugs. You know, we will find some time next week. I will keep this editorial for us to do a proper and bring in relevant people. There's a surge in children killing their parents. Some of the things we'll be looking at is the upbringing of the children and the examples that they see. Our children usually behave the way we do. Okay, look at this. This is no excuse. But look at the man that is always pounding his wife, not knowing that the son, that he was creating a monster in doing that. And so the editorial talks about situation where mothers, for instance, will set their kids against their fathers or vice versa. Hmm. If there's a divorce or whatever,
they use the children.
They use the children. And or parents surrendering their guidance rules to social media. The social media is in trouble. We're in big trouble, and we need to be careful. Did you see the documentary on AI?
No.
AI, of course, is where a lot of things are being presented as the truth. For instance, they did some computer job on the Pope wearing a nice jacket. Mm. You understand? And it looks real. And apparently that's the new threat. It's a big problem. If you're having children at this point in time, you need to have your ears up. You need to know what's going on. And, you know, when you're looking for a school for your child, I've spoken about that to Ruda Dibo when she came. When you're looking for, don't look at just a rich school. You need to look at the moral fiber. These things start from those of you, for example, who like investing in all these kind of games where people shoot. Oh, AI creators fear the extinction of humanity. Look at that. They fear the extinction of humanity. I just spoke about AI now. It's come up on TV. So back to what I was saying. Those of you who buy all these dangerous games, these games that they are shooting, you know, that is the beginning. These things work on the child's mind. To raise a child now is a very, very tough, very, very tough. And what would also help is agreement between parents on how, you know, this should be done. So we will, I'm hoping, Sheriff, that sometime next week, back to back, we can do something. You do yours, I do mine. We need to place a premium on how we raise our children, because these are the future.
That's true. Lagos, we're going to stop here. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. What's coming up at 9, though?
What a question.
Who is coming
that's
up?
That's how I asked
no, wait.
That's how
I wanted you. To ask who is coming up.
That's how I asked you which is senior. You said you don't know. Who and you started senior? Drinking that nonsense.
What?
Today is Wednesday now.
Who is joining you?
You know that fashion icon that was here one time, Neita.
Oh, Neita is coming. Okay.
He goes sweet very well.
Thank you so much, sir, for joining us.
All right.
Lagos, that's our show, right? At 8 o'clock, let's break it down. Fuel subsidy, what does it mean? I have Zila Kariwe already in the studio. Stay here.
We all have that one friend that always hides everything from everyone else. Like my guy, Sheung. That got 1 gig free data when he downloaded my MTN NG.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, you're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.